Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There's a certain racial component to this for some people.
If you look at the time that we brought here enslaved 400 years ago, we got the same results today.
People talk about taking their country back. President has reached out his hand, offered compromises.
I've acted this year to help working Americans on my own.
If he cannot pay attention to Chicago and the African-American community, he needs to resign.
This president has been treated differently than others.
Mr. President, we're asking for you.
Again, as I say, he will probably go down as the worst president ever elected. Bill Clinton was the African-American president.
That's right, the worst president ever elected, and I didn't say it. An African-American in Chicago said it, but I may be Attorney General Eric Holder, who said that there's a racial component in the resistance to Obama's desire to create one-man rule. And anyone who opposes one-man rule is obviously racist. There's no question about that. Anyone who still salutes the flag might be investigated by the Justice Department. There must be a racial component in the flag. I mean, you have to see it. Here's the problem. If you'd only open up your eyes and see the world through the eyes of Eric Holder, the world would be a much better place. And on that note, since there's a racial component in everything Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, Barack Obama et al. See, I mean, let's back up for a minute. Over the weekend, Eric Holder gave an interview, and he said that there's a racial component in anybody who opposes Obama. So if you have to if you can understand where he's coming from, you'll understand why he sees it that way. If you've used race your whole life to get where you are when you're a third-rate mind, and it worked for you, why would you stop using it? In other words, if it wasn't for race, would Eric Holder be Attorney General? Let's turn it around, though. Has he ever written anything in the legal books, in the world of legal books, that would have him stand out, let's say, on the level of a Justice Frankfurter? No. Or a Justice Brandeis. Has Eric Holder ever written anything that will ever be remembered in law? No. Has Obama ever written anything or said anything that will ever be remembered? No. Other than I have a pen and a chair and stool and a stool. I have a pen, a chair, and a stool, and I'll be a one-man machine. So in other words, if you have gotten where you are using race, why would you stop now? You wouldn't stop now. And on that note, since we know the world is going to you-know-where in a handbasket and going there real fast because we've got two men pushing it as quickly as they can over the cliff, Israel, of course, is at war with their wonderful neighbors, the Arab neighbors over there. The Arabs in America are rioting. They didn't have anything to say when the Israelis were being killed, but when their own brethren are being killed, of course, this is the way the world is. See, there's no right and wrong at a certain point. Do you understand there's no right and wrong? Do you understand where war originates? War originates when both sides know they're right. And there's no right or wrong. They go to war, and then might makes right. It's as simple as that. It's a horrible thing to say, but I said it. The world is a horrible place. It's not a place where little white girls sell lemonade on a corner in a suburb with any degree of safety anymore, except in idiotic Marin County, because the mothers are all drugged up and don't know the world that they live in. You see what I'm saying to you? My father was an immigrant from Russia, came here when he was seven, didn't speak the language, had to learn the language. He rode a laundry truck with a horse, like out of The Godfather, at 10 or 11. They used child labor. He was glad to have the job. He didn't go crying to the Justice Department. He was glad as an immigrant kid to get a job. And he worked his way up. He had a little store. He died young. He left my mother a small attached house and some money. She never had to work in her life. But the point is, he didn't complain about it. But he also knew it was a dog-eat-dog world, and he taught yours truly, Michael Savage. See, I was a young kid, went to college, and right away my mind was perverted and destroyed at Queens College in the city of New York. These were all communists who ran away from fascism, and the first thing I did when they came to America was try to brainwash the youth, myself included, into hating America and seeing the world through the eyes of John Dewey and the others that I was raised on in all of these liberal arts courses. So I'd come home from college, and I would give my father the highfalutin liberal view of the world as a kid, you know, youngster. I'm talking, I went to college at 16. I skipped a few grades. And I would come home and give him the claptrap that I learned in school, and he'd look at me like I was crazy. And he would say to me, let me tell you something. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. He said, let me tell you what the meek shall inherit. Now, since this is a family show, I can't tell you what my father, Savage, said. But it began with the meek shall inherit, and you fill in, it's a one-word answer. The meek shall inherit blank. See, he taught me you're going to get in life exactly what you put out. Now, that leads me to the next point, which is this. And it goes along the lines, if you're not happy in this world, you're going to be more miserable in the next world. You know what I mean? Learn to live in this world and learn to be happy in this world, because tomorrow may never come. So let me tell you, the world's a terrible place. I do this for a living. I've done it for over 20 years. I see the world in worse shape than it's ever been in my life. And any objective person, irrespective of their racial orientation or racial composition, rather, understands that Obama is an incompetent or more than that dangerous individual pushing his agenda so rapidly that the world is falling apart. Once America left, a vacuum was created. And as a result, war is breaking out all over the world. Hillary Clinton created a Cold War with Russia. Make no mistake about it. She called Putin Hitler. Never forget that. The worst diplomat in American history was Hillary Clinton next to John Kerry. This is a team of, this team makes Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan. The Obama machine makes Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan. Let me repeat it in case you missed it. This team is so leftist and so out of control and so incompetent that they make Jimmy Carter look like Ronald Reagan in retrospect. Did it finally go through? Did you get that one? So here's the point. So I need a breath. I need to capture a piece of sunlight once in a while, don't I? If I couldn't capture sunlight, I would curl up into a ball and disappear. I would die. So like a plant that needs light and carbon dioxide, don't tell that to the morons who believe in global warming, because it wasn't for high levels of CO2 in the atmosphere, we'd be living in the, we wouldn't have anything to eat. But I try to tell you that 5 years ago. That's basic fifth grade science. Is that plants require carbon dioxide. So all the geniuses who want to eliminate carbon dioxide, who want to maybe eliminate the food supply on the planet, show you how backward they are. But nevertheless, I'm saying like a plant needs carbon dioxide, water, and light to manufacture chlorophyll in order to live, right? So what does a man need in order to live? Man cannot live by bread alone. Didn't Jesus say that? What did Jesus mean when he said man cannot live by bread alone? What Jesus was saying is man is a spiritual being. And man needs more than just bread. He needs more than just the basic necessities. Otherwise, he's going to perish as a human being, as a full human being, right? So each man must find the avenue of light into their soul, whether it be this, that, a child, a baby, who knows what it is. There's too many avenues, building a model plane, going to a museum, flying an airplane, whatever it may be. Every man must find his light and his carbon dioxide and his water in order for his soul to be alive. So about 20 years ago, more now, God, it's longer than that. When I first moved to Northern California, I had a friend who was Italian, and his mother was 90 years old, obviously also Italian, and she lived in Monterey in a little house, and we all drove down the coast. It was miraculous Jack Kerouacian days. We got in the car, I don't know what it was, a Volkswagen of some kind. He took off from his print shop, a very nice man, and it was his mother-in-law. We drove down to his mother-in-law's house, and we all had lunch. She cooked for everybody, about 10 people, and wonderful Bay Area family. She put out all the food on the table, and then she said something that I never forgot. She said, of course, manja, manja, meaning let's eat, but she also said, but first let's pray, she said, because man needs more than just food. That's what she did, so she prayed. I'm not here to give you a sermon. I'm just giving you my view of the thing. I'm building up to something. And what I'm building up to is that Saturday I needed to get some light. So I know where to go in San Francisco where San Francisco still exists. You don't. Most people don't know where San Francisco exists. It's not where the hipsters go, because the hipsters came rather late in life and they don't know what they're doing. They're too stoned to know anything other than to act cool. But anyone who acts cool is usually a clod. So I go to North Beach because I'm addicted to North Beach, which is the Italian area of the city. Two of my novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, are set in North Beach, in the North Beach restaurant, which I fictionalized. But Lorenzo passed away about a month ago, so I don't go in there anymore, truthfully. I mean, I may go back. So I went to another old friend of mine. I went to Pinocchio restaurant, which is owned by my friend Giovanni. Now, Giovanni is an interesting guy. He's a former fisherman. See, I happen to like Monterey squid. He actually fished for them. And this guy came here as an Italian immigrant, worked his way up from a fisherman to owning a couple of restaurants. He has the best food in the city. No one knows that except the people who know food. The idiots who look for what's cool don't eat there. The coolsters eat where the food is garbage. But that's irrelevant. So I go in there and I sit down. He says, what do you want to eat? I said, whatever you want to give me. That's what you do when your friend owns a restaurant. So no, let me tell you, I tell you, you don't want to hear anymore. Let's play Volare, because when he started to sing, I was singing along with him. And we're going to sing a song together. Now, before we play Dean Martin singing Volare, I want to caution you that Eric Holder might send the Justice Department to investigate the Dean Martin estate and the songwriter of Volare. Because, after all, if this song is this popular after all these years, there has to be a racial component to the popularity of Volare, right? I mean, if you're Eric Holder, there's a racial component to the popularity of this song. E cantare.
Nel blu.
No one understands the word. Wait, stop the music. Stop the music. Everyone has heard this song, and anyone listening to this song on the Savage Nation could probably sing Volare, say the word Volare, Volare twice, and then you don't know the rest of the song. But I want you to follow the bouncing ping pong ball underneath your brain, and I want you to sing along with me because it's the simplest song in the world. The point is, it's a song about happiness. It's a song about let's fly up to the clouds away from the maddening crowds. We can sing in the glow of a star that I know of where lovers enjoy peace of mind. Let us leave the confusion and all disillusion behind. Just like a bird of a feather, a rainbow together we'll find. Now, I realize this is not on the high level of a rap song. It does not debase women. It does not talk about shooting police. It doesn't talk about hating anybody. And so, therefore, Eric Holder might send the Justice Department to investigate the popularity of Volare, because after all these years, there has to be a racial component to explain the popularity of this simple song. That leads me to the next point on the show on this Monday. I'm going to give it all to you in the opening. So I'm enjoying what he served me, which I'm not going to tell you about. It was just perfect. Drinking white wine in the middle of the day, which I rarely do because I needed to get away from Obama and Holder and what they're doing to my country. And Giovanni starts to sing in his restaurant, Pinocchio. I start singing along with him. The tourists really love it. And it's filled with the tourists. A lot of tourists love this place, people who are smart from the Mediterranean. A lot of Italians, a lot of people from the Middle East, France, they all come to this place because they know food. And the locals do. The only people who don't come here are the people from San Francisco who don't know food at all. They know nothing. They read a guy named, they read a guy who knows about Carvel ice cream, who pretends to be a restaurant critic. In other words, wherever they give him a free meal, if they give him and Willie Brown a free meal, it must be a good restaurant. But if they don't give Willie Brown and this restaurant critic a free meal, it's a bad restaurant. Se non sei felice in questo mondo, nell'altro mondo sarai infelice. Questo mondo paradiso, che l'altro non la sai cosa ti aspettare. What am I saying to you? You don't know what I'm saying to you. But when I come back, I'll read some Sanskrit and then some Hebrew right here on the Savage Nation.
Volare.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Nel blu, dipinto di blu.
It's the Savage Nation. People were saying to me during the break, my producer Neil, he said, Michael, go for it. Keep talking about what you did in North Beach Saturday. He said, because they'd rather hear that than hear about how bad Obama is. They know how bad he is, but they can't take it anymore. All they're saying is, where's the Republican Party? I mean, what do you want the people to do about it? Which is the truth. I could tell you what I ate and talk to you about what I sang on Saturday and how I felt and what I saw after a bottle of wine, and you'd probably enjoy it more than me telling you about the decimation of America. Why? I don't know why. Telling you why. Living well is the best revenge, that's why. So before the break, I told you that Giovanni in Pinocchio, I don't want to go on and on, but he said to me in Italian, si non sei felice in questo mondo, meaning if you're not, because I said to him, he said, if you're not happy in this world, what do you expect to happen in the next world? That's what he said to me. But he said it quickly in Italian. So Adam, write it down. Si non sei felice in questo mondo, nell'altro mondo sarai infelice. Questo mondo è paradiso, che l'altro non lo sai. Cosa ti aspetterai? I think that's what he said. Okay, forgive me. I don't know Italian. I only know how when they're talking about me. That's the only time I know Italian is when Italian friends of mine think that I don't understand they're saying about me. I understand. That's when my Italian kicks. I used to love sitting in a restaurant. They go into a Sicilian dialect, and they see me look like a dummy, like an outsider. I knew what they were saying. Anyway, it's a joke. So I had a good time. The meal was good. The point is living well is the best revenge. And if you're not happy in this world, you're going to be more miserable in the next world. And many people say, oh, don't worry, I'm miserable here, but don't worry, in the next world I'm going to be happy. No, you'll be worse there. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come. Imagine waking up 20 years from now and Obama's still president. Imagine that your entire life Obama's president. I want you to have the worst nightmare you could ever imagine. Obama's 100 and he's still president. We've had one-man rule for 50 years. And they keep saying to you that's because of racial injustice. They had to wipe out the Constitution temporarily. They had to put it on hold. They didn't eliminate the Constitution. After all, he's a constitutional authority. He only had to put the Constitution on hold for 50 years in order to make up for racial injustice and racial disparities. And Eric Holder found a loophole in the law to permit him to do it. Eric Holder's 103.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Defense Department officials tell the New York Times that Haley Sergeant Bo Bergdahl will return to life as a regular Army soldier as early as today. They say Bergdahl has finished his therapy and his counseling and will now start working with Sam Houston. He's also expected to meet with Major General Kenneth Dahl. Dahl is the officer investigating.
So now under Obama, they take a traitor who ran away from his unit in combat, lived with the Taliban or whoever they call themselves over there for 5 years. Obama trades him for five murderers, the worst, the hardened battlefield generals, brings him back. They put him in a reverse brainwashing session for two seconds. Now he's suddenly cured already, and he's going back into the Army. He's a double agent. Only an Obama could put him back in the military. It's wonderful. Now, our Marine is still stuck in Mexico, and Obama's done nothing, didn't lift a finger. They're flooding him over the border like on the train load. That he has something to say about, but a Marine over there captured by the monsters, nothing. Ah, my God. By the way, thanks for making me Michael Savage, the king of talk radio. Thanks for listening on all the great radio stations. And on the on streaming talk shows, I'm number one. Let me be very clear. The ratings on stations are different. I'm doing well on the stations. But on streaming, I'm number one with a 20 share. Limbaugh's a 12 share. I'm almost double his share. I didn't make up the numbers. The people who do this do it. Those are people who listen on devices rather than radio. Or they listen on the internet, you know, whatever. 20 share is unheard of in this day and age. And I think it's quite an achievement for a man who's been on radio 20 years that instead of becoming irrelevant, I become more relevant. And you notice I don't get as excited as I did 15 years ago. I used to yell a lot. Angry, screaming. It was good. But I don't have to yell and scream to make my point anymore. I will if I need to, but I don't. Speaking of the past, I got to tell you this. I told you I'm putting together my archives to give to a major university library. Berkeley's not on the list anymore. The University of California has lost the opportunity to have a homegrown PhD library. They're not getting it. I'm going to take it to a state that appreciates me rather than this state, which seems to wallow in a pigsty. In other words, if you wrote pig literature and you lived like a pig, then they want your library. So I found a state that wants all of my... I have recordings going back on, would you believe this? I'm the only one. It was obsessive, I admit. It's OCD, I admit. 1994, I started recording every one of my radio shows on audio cassette. No one could believe it. When I was back on KSFO, I was recording my shows. So I have them wrapped up in like papers with a little note of what the show was about. Then I go to DATs, D-A-T, they followed cassettes. Then we went to CDs, right? I have virtually every show I've done, so that's my tape library. It's been 5 years I've had somebody annotating the shows. But then I have all of my writings, which I've told you about. So the other day, I had a little time, I went and found all the TV appearances I've done, including all my events, my live events. Now, I have not done a live event in 10 years. The last live event I did was at the Chronicle Pavilion, and I distinct remember we had 7,000 people. I outdrew Sheryl Crow, who had been the previous performer. People said, oh, a talk show host? A right-winger? He's getting 7,000 people? How can that be? The Chronicle didn't write about him. I have that on tape, and I was listening to what I said. But wait, I have a better treat for you. I went back to 2004 to an event I did at the Marin County Civic Center before 2,000 people, Saving the Real Private Ryans, honoring our real World War II veterans. And I watched it, and I couldn't believe what I was watching. It starts with my son emceeing the show. We had a drum and fife band. They had the national anthem played for real. Then Phil Joya, a friend of mine, came out and honored veterans from the World War II. I mean, these guys were in their 80s. They were pilots. They were soldiers. I couldn't believe it. I was looking at these guys. If you saw them on the street, you think, just old white guys. These were such heroic men. Then they played Taps for the dead heroes. Then I came out and gave a speech about Iraq. It was 2004. We're in the heart of the war with Iraq. And I remember I was wearing a black coat, long black coat, and a big black hat on stage. I think what we're going to do is transfer it to audio and play it for you on the show this week, if I can get it over to Neil in Dallas. I don't have the technological ability to transfer DVD right away. But the thing is my piece on Iraq, it shocked me. Because what I was saying then needs to be said now. The very same things that were going on then. It was all about Fallujah. It was about the Sunni Triangle. I was saying I want to see the bees buzzing. I want to see the bees flying. I want to see the B-1s, the B-2s. I want to see the B-52s. I talked about waking up 4 in the morning, listening to the drone, the big, powerful sound of our bombers leaving the Air Force Base up near Sacramento. And how it stirred me at the height of the war to hear them. Now, I would hear them leaving. Maybe they were transitioning them to Diego Garcia, I don't know where. Or maybe they were going on a non-stopper to do a little delivery, you know, a little UPS on our dear friends over there in Iraq. But I remember how stirring it felt, and how stirred I felt to know that our Air Force was still run by an American, that our Air Force was still commanded by a patriot who was using our planes the way they were designed to be used, instead of grounding them when they should be used, right? So I said, that's what we got to do, is we got to go over there and just end it, get it over with. I said either get it over with or get the heck out of there. That's what I said. I didn't say go to war. I said, if you're there, then win it or get out. That's what I said. Hit them with everything. I said, are they going to come back like cockroaches in a few years and hit you again? What? Was I wrong? Here we are again. Here we are again. Because of George Bush's tepid involvement in the war, we have this metastasis now, and it hasn't ended, and it won't end. In that regard, you could say it's not Obama's fault. All right, so it's not Obama's fault. So it's not Obama's fault. That's not my point. I don't get up every day. My goal is not to prove Obama's wrong about everything. He's wrong about so many things that I don't have to prove anything. That's all. So here we are. We're standing on the precipice of something, and I'm looking at a show on TV last night about a free theater in Russia, in Belarus, done a few years ago. A free theater. You say, a bunch of hippies. But no, it was pretty amazing. And the people in the theater, the artists in Russia, were saying, we have one leader. Think of it. She said, I'm 25 years old. I've had one president my whole life. They wanted democracy. They didn't want a dictatorship. So then it goes to the leader of the opposition, and they're killing people, they're beating them up there. And her own Russian compatriot, listen to this. One of the women in the theater, one of the people who was protesting against the one-man rule, says she was beaten up by the Russian thugs in Belarus. She's Russian. And they said to her, first we're going to rape you, and then we're going to do to you things that what the Nazis did to Russians in World War II will be only a dream compared to what we're going to do to you. This is what Russians did to Russians. And I'm telling you that the same thing will happen in this country. Unless you capture the rainbow of truth. I'm warning you. If you think that you're immune from that debacle in this country, I got another guest coming for you. I am telling you that you will not be protected by the Constitution. You will not be protected by the flag. You'll not be protected by your patriotism. None of that will help you. Once the devil is set loose, the devil knows no bounds. And the only thing preventing us from this chaos, well, I'll let you figure it out. But I can tell you this, that if we let this go on much longer, the people who are right now running rampant over this country, violating the Constitution, spitting on the flag, spitting on the Supreme Court, spitting on the people, spitting on the opposition, they'll eliminate term limits and you'll have a president for life. And if you want to live in that country, you can exclude me, because I won't be here. I'll tell you that right now. Very good, Mike. Very, very good. Then I watched live at the Chronicle Pavilion, where I drove out with a Cadillac. If you were at that event, the last live event Savage ever did, the truth is, I'm a great performer. I'm as good as any I've ever seen. I watched it. I said, I'm really good. I will tell you, the 10 years took their toll on me. I got to tell you that. Me, I took a look at myself in this Chronicle Pavilion. I had a little darkness in the beard. Now it's all salt and no pepper or whatever. Now it's, yeah, there's a little pepper. Then it was mainly pepper with a little salt. Now it's mainly salt with a little pepper. Number two, the top of the head, let's say, is shining a little bit more. But those are the minor things. I'm just saying, but you look at yourself and say, oh, God, what energy I had in front of a crowd. How did I do it? I don't understand it. I drove the 65 Cadillac out on the stage. Remember that show? Were you there? If you were there, would you raise your hand? I think I'm going to do one last live show before I die. I want to do like a Lou Gehrig event. Like, you know, I come out and I say, I'm the luckiest man alive. I really want to bring the audience to their feet. I think everybody wants to see me again. I'm not saying I'm going to do it now, but I want to do one last live event. Or let's say one more live event. I'm not planning on dropping dead yet. But, you know, TikTok and God has all the keys, and I don't know what's coming tomorrow. But I want to say, I got to tell you, the live event is like nothing else on earth. I don't do them. People at talk radio, they leave every Friday, they get a fill-in, they fly out, they do a 45-minute boring speech from a pair of notes, like I think the Leprechaun does it. He does a stock speech, they pay him a fortune, and he flies back on his old Gulfstream. All right, if you can do it, God bless you. What I'm saying is, if you can get away with it, if the people are going to go to you anyway, they're so desperate that they listen to an undertaker like him, it's like a stiff. There's no entertainment value in these guys. The guy gives a speech on Constitution and this and God and George Washington and here's the flag and God bless America and here's a soldier and goodbye. You know, $102,000 later, God bless you. I saw him at the thing. Great. But that's not entertaining. I put on a show. I don't know how I did it. I came out with the car. I read the newspaper from the car. I said, I'm stuck in traffic. A bum is blocking me. And I said, let's see what's in the paper. And I did a whole natural show off the news headlines. That was act one. I did a three-act show. Then the curtain drops. I come back in a new outfit, in a red robe, and I'm sitting in front of a television on the stage with a clicker watching the news and rapping with the audience about the news from my easy chair in a red robe. And I was still doing well. My problem, I'll be honest with you now, I got nothing to hide. I was drinking champagne on stage in a coffee cup. And I could tell you the first act was the best because I had not had enough champagne to distort my speech pattern. By act two already in the chair, I could see my speech patterns where we're going. And if I had a good director, they would have said, that's it. And they would have come out with the dancing girls and the performing dogs, and it would have been it. But I went back for act three. And at that point, I think it was two bottles into the show. And act three, some people liked it more than others, but I had about a 10% walkout. Because I started to get a little, off color. And some of the real, you know, some straight, real straight, they got up and left. And I got, you know, have a nice day. You start, like, insulting your audience and they're leaving, you know you're in trouble. I had a 10% walkout because I was cursing a little bit. Not heavy, just mild. And then the guys in the back who came to see me loved it. They started screaming, Mike, 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 let's have another drink. Because they were drinking in the audience. Why shouldn't I? I said, they're allowed to drink and I can't, not performing. They were able to buy some beer in the back. The act, what are you playing now, Neil? I don't even know. Tiny Bubbles, yeah. So, act three was a little on the Dean Martin slosh jaw, but for real, and it shouldn't have been done. But it's all on a tape. And by the way, I'm not selling them, right? The next thing should be a pitch. And by the way, if you go to michaelsavage.com, we have a special for you right now. Buy one, get six free. In fact, if you buy one today, we give you three suits free and 18 pair of... What is that clothing store? I don't understand it. Buy one suit, get the entire store free. And then if you want a business shirt, it's $99. Could you believe, where did they get these suits made? They must be making them on Mars. They can't be making them in China. I mean, even Chinese labor would be too expensive. Buy one just today, special holiday. Buy one, get the entire store for free. But the trick is you got to buy a dress shirt for $99. I'll be right back.
And the wine.
And the wine.
Nancy Pelosi's blessed, sacred people are giving our Border Patrol agents diseases they haven't seen in years. They're giving them blessed bacterial pneumonia. Pelosi's wonderful children from Guatemala, El Salvador, are giving our Border Patrol agents scabies, lice, bacterial pneumonia. If you don't believe me, the vice president of the Border Patrol Union, Chris Cabrera, said that a lot of our guys are coming down with these diseases. And no sane nation on earth would bring in diseased people, except this administration is not sane. As you well know, we have insane people running the asylum. So they're bringing in people with infectious diseases, including drug-resistant tuberculosis, bacterial pneumonia, and things like that. No one on earth would do this. No nation on earth would do this. But you have to ask yourself why. Why are they doing it? Are they simply incompetent, or are they doing it to infect the general population? Ask yourself the question. Ask yourself the question. Ask Eric Holder if there's a racial component to this. Because he thinks there's a racial component to everything. Anyway, I don't want to do this. I tell you, I have had enough of it. That's what I'm telling you about where I ate and what I did and this and that and boom, blah, blah. What am I supposed to tell you? My vision is different than others in radio. Everyone has their own way of doing things. My vision is a little different. I incorporate historical, spiritual, cultural. I have a very inquisitive mind. And the fact of the matter is, that's why I know what the liberal cabal is and how dangerous it is for our survival. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I see things in a different way. And in that regard, you have to either accept what I say as the gospel or don't listen to me. Because what I'm telling you is the emes, it's the truth. And they have an agenda, Obama and Holder and the others who see race in everything. They have an agenda, or they would have been stopped. But here's the bad news. You want to hear the bad news? The Republicans agree with them. That's all. See, the Republicans wanted amnesty, but didn't have the nerve to flood us with illegals. But because they have a good friend in Obama and Holder, good friends there, they figured a way around the law. They figured how to bust open amnesty without voting on it. So that way, Boehner and the others can cry with crocodile tears and satisfy the worst business bureau and satisfy the all those people who want, you know, low labor. And Republicans don't care if they don't get elected. You don't even understand that. They make money whether they're elected to office or not. There's always going to be another party. So you figure, all right, so we'll have second dips. It's still a fortune for us. We didn't hurt under Obama. They never had it so good. So the fact is they don't care if they lose. This way everyone blames Obama and they laugh all the way to the Swiss bank. You don't understand that yet.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day.
It is Comrade Savage. Comrade Savage reporting here from the USS of A. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Yes, indeedy. Commandante Obama has broken our borders with Mexico and says he didn't do it. Bush did it. He started a new Cold War. He said, I didn't do it. Bush did it. He has set back Iraq to the age before we entered, before anyone lost so much as a toenail. And he said, I didn't do it. Bush did it. And, of course, he's a busy man. I mean, look, there's a lot of fundraising to do, and he's got a plane to catch to Martha's Vineyard shortly for the summer vacation that's coming up. They got to pack. They got to press the clothes. Michelle has to supervise the 72 assistants. at government expense. And here's a little news story for you. See, if you missed the first hour, you don't understand where I'm coming from. I did a whole different thing the first hour on where I ate, and living well is the best revenge. I sang in Italian. I read you an Italian saying about that if you're not happy in this world, you're not going to be happy in the next. What can you expect to be more unhappy in the next world? See, it's not like the kingdom of God awaits you. This is the only heaven. This earth, the only heaven. This is it. Many of you don't believe that. I get it. Okay, so you have your beliefs. Every time I watch a movie lately and I have a scene, a burial job, with the ropes and the hole and the flower and the sand, I say to myself, are they kidding? The guy's where he's going to heaven? They're putting the guy in a hole. There's no air, nothing. No light. No water. You can't get up and go to the bathroom no more. Nothing. No refrigerator. You can't go to the you can't wake up in the middle of that and say, okay, it's over. You can't touch the dog in the middle of the night and say, Teddy, are you there in the dark? There's nothing. It's a lot of not even space. The whole world that you have, it ends. Let's do it this way. Let's not do atheism. Many of you are religious and take offense at this. See, you could believe in God, and you could be very spiritual and believe that it is nothing after you die. By the way, see, you don't have to believe in reincarnation. If you believe in God, you don't have to believe in reincarnation. God could be. See, I guess you have to in a way. Otherwise, what's the point of God? Oh, I see. You get punished in this life if he doesn't like you. I get it. So that explains why all the bad people are doing so well. I get it. Okay, I figured that one out. Right. He punishes you in this life if he doesn't like you. Ah, that's why so many wonderful people are running things. Okay, I get it. I couldn't put two and two together. But let's assume that it is lights out and you're down in the hole or whatever. Well, see, a lot of people don't believe in it anymore. That's why they're getting cremated. I was watching a thing on cremation in India. It was like a filler job on TCM last week without like a 15-minute shot. They have to fill in with that guy comes out between the bad movie, the old movies. And they have like a filler thing like from the 50s. So it says India, 1969, and they showed like a funeral pyre. They put the woman, the husband goes next to it. They put like a lotion on her that catches fire. And the sticks, and he puts the sticks right around the head, and the arm, make sure it burns real good. And that's it. Boom. They don't have there are no cemeteries to bother with in India. It's very efficient. I mean, it produces carbon dioxide. I think that Al Gore ought to go over to India and tell them that their funeral pyres are polluting the atmosphere, and they should pay a carbon tax for each corpse that's burnt. Let Al Gore try lecturing them with his baloney. We'll see how long he lasts. They'll give him a one-way trip to the Ganges River. They'll give him a Hindu fishing trip, which is a one-way boat ride down the Ganges if you tell him how to. But that's it. I mean, every religion has their own way of doing it. And here we are watching, you know what, Bergdahl payday. Sergeant could get $350,000 tax-free if cleared by the Army. Last week he was a traitor. Last week everyone was in the unit with him, said he ran away over to the enemy. Now Obama has cleaned him up, gave him a bath, and he's back already. He's going to get $350,000 if the Potemkin investigation reveals he did not desert his Afghanistan post. Take a guess who's going to do the investigation. I think Eric Holder is going to do it personally. And they're going to say he was a prisoner of war for 5 years. He really didn't leave his post. No. I think they should give him a Medal of Honor for abandoning his post. After all, isn't that what a peacenik does? New turn in conflict. Israel says it shot down drone launch from Gaza. Yeah, well, they have the Iron Dome, which is very good. The Iron Dome is working very well, and it's adaptable. Otherwise, Israel wouldn't exist. And what's going on in America and Paris, the Jews were beaten up in synagogues by their peaceful Palestinian brethren. And they broke into a synagogue over there, and the socialist, whatever his name is, Hollandaise saw, said, this is not good. We do not know which side to take because we are French. We take it both ways. We turn whatever. Excuse me, I must go for a lunch. And he's going to get to another one, going to get to the bottom of it. So that's pretty bad. The illegal immigrants pouring in from Central America, even Central American immigrants in America are opposed to this. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it except Obama and Holder and Cecilia Munoz of La Raza. La Raza wants this. Here's another nice report for the day. Military assessment says Iraqi units infiltrated by ISIS and Iran-backed militiamen. Okay, that's good. Very nice. Very nice. And now ISIS is running the Iraqi military. I could wake up tomorrow and read that our military has been infiltrated by ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood. What, the people would still go on, oh, Muslim Brotherhood, what's that? What's it, a club? If I said to the average American, the U.S. military has Muslim Brotherhood infiltration, they'd say, oh, that's nice. We need diversity. We need diversity in America. I'm glad that they, what is it, some kind of club, a boys' choir? Like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? Is that what the Muslim Brotherhood is? Excuse me, I got to go to the shop and have my nails done. That's what's going on in the country today. I see that the shipwrecked Costa Concordia has been refloated thanks to Euro technology. Yeah, remember that ship guy hit the rock, that like Italian captain? The woman-crazed Italian captain. He was in the, he's having a little where was he? Oh, he had the blonde running the ship when he hit the rocks. He was like cruising the island. He was like racing close to the island to show to his relatives, like, hey, how you doing, mamma mia? Look at the ship I have under my control. Boom, the rock sinks sideways. That was, at least they gave him a trial. Is he probably out already? He'll get a $350,000 payment. If this were an American captain and he ran the ship into the rocks like that, the first thing he would say is he didn't do it on purpose. He had an illness. He was a victim of his own illness. He had OCD or ACDC power. He was ACDC and foot power, and he couldn't control his tick. And he was scratching an itch, and he had a disease, and EEOC proved that he didn't mean to run it into the rocks, and it's a disaster for him personally, and he's sorry that everyone died and the ship went down. But we have to give him a $300 million reward because not everyone died. That would be the American way. In Italy, they put him away for life, I think. That's interesting. Israel charges three suspects in Palestinians' death. Teen revenge killing. Israel shoots down drone. Iron Dome is working. That's all. Thank God for technology. We wouldn't be here for 1 second. Look, there's not going to be any peace in Israel until the Palestinians accept Israel. It's that simple. They can't have it both ways, the Palestinians. And this is something Holder doesn't understand. And Valerie Jarrett, who's really running the country while Obama's golfing. Until the Palestinians accept Israel's right to exist, there'll be no peace at all. It's that simple. We know the shooting started. We know Israel's going to get most of the blame. Already we know the UN degenerates have come back from vacation to attack Israel. We know that. It's all predictable. Here we have a little nation under attack. Millions of citizens spending hours in bomb shelters, right? And so the minute Israel does anything beyond slapping someone on the wrist, they're already the Nazis. And it's never going to end unless the Palestinians accept Israel's right to exist within borders. Until that day comes, there'll be no peace. And I don't think that day is ever going to come. It's that simple. You already forgot Lois Lerner's missing emails. You know that there's servers they could get them from. You know that Obama's targeting the middle class, which is why every speech now talks about how he's helping the middle class. See, we're on to him. To him, the middle class is not middle class, it's the bourgeoisie. That's his natural enemy. Everything Obama learned from his childhood on, well, I would say after childhood, was against the bourgeoisie, the middle class. So now, since we uncovered that, every other speech is how he's trying to help the middle class. But no, it's not the middle. He's aimed at the middle class. He's destroying it. We do have not an imperial president. I want to repeat what I taught you last week. But we have a rogue president, a rogue presidency. What do I mean by that? It means it's operating without any checks and balances, without the input of Congress, without even tries to override the Supreme Court. The people don't even exist to him. That's a rogue presidency created just for you on the Savage Nation. And now if you'd like to talk about anything I said, I'm going to take your calls on the Savage Nation. It's only Monday. Monday, what a long week ahead of me. I even thought I had such a good time Saturday, I thought I'd take off today. But then I woke up and I said, I can't take the day off. The people need me. They hang on every word. Guys need me. They can't live without me. I'm the president of the Savage States of America. They can't do without me. Ladies and gentlemen, please rise. The president of the Savage States of America. Da, da, da. Neil, do we have that soundbite? Remember the old days, Neil? Neil, hello. Savage the producer. Savage the producer. No, I just came up with that. That was in the event that I was at. Ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Savage States of America. Look, I predated the whole Tea Party movement with the Compassionate Conservative conventions. And I don't get credit for it, but I enjoyed it. I did what I could. I tried my best. So I'm pretty sure I'll get rewarded for it. Yeah, right. Yeah, God's waiting for me. All right, step forward, please. Michael, please step forward. Tell me what you did on Earth. Well, I tried my best. I mean, we had a terrible situation down there. Country was pretty messed up when I was born, but, you know, the Nazis were defeated, and America kind of was a great place for a long while. And then along came Timothy Leary with the drugs, Allen Ginsberg with the mumbo-jumbo, and William Kunstler perverting the law. And the next thing we know, the women's movement combined, and the next thing we knew, the country fell apart. Really? And what did you have to do with that, Savage? Please step forward. God can't hear you. He's a little tired. His ears are not working as well as they did millennia ago. See, that's the arc. What? The God can't hear me? I thought he's perfect. You want to be a wise guy? You'll go right to the back of the class. I'll make you come back again. Speak up. God can't hear you. His ears are... He's old now. Been around for millennia. He's tired. So say it again. He asked you a simple question through me. What exactly did you do while all this was going on, Savage? I tried my best. I wrote books. And what effect did they have? I must admit, little effect, God. And, well, I did a radio show every day. 3 hours a day. I did it for 20 years. 25. I shouldn't say 20. That means I'm dead. I did the best show I could for over 20 years. And what effect did that have? What effect it had? It got worse. So would you say you're responsible for the communist regime that took over the country in 08? In a way, I have to have responsibility because the more I tried, the worse it got. So you're putting the burden on me? Don't ask questions of God. Don't be a Weisenheimer. You don't come here to ask questions. You come here to answer, Michael. Oh, sorry. I'm just saying. No, don't try the Talmudic riddle on God. He wrote it. He invented the Talmudic riddle. He asked you a question through me. He doesn't talk. I talk for him. He asked you a question. So you did the shows, you wrote the books, and what happened? We got a communist regime anyway that stepped on the Constitution and broke the borders down and brought in diseased individual. And? So who did this? Well, I didn't do it. I talked about borders, language, and culture. And God wants to know, what effect did it have? It had the opposite effect. But can you blame me? Oh, you're asking a question again. You can't ask questions of God. God cannot... You can't ask. You can only answer. So he's asking you what effect it had. And that's it. That's the dialogue that's waiting for me. Oh, God. I once told a very religious man about 20 years ago, and I was going through a bad phase of my life. I said, I write down everything in my journals. I have journals going back to 1963. And he says to me, so? He says, God will want to know what you didn't put in your journals. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Come back with clip two. Clip two, please.
There's a certain level of vehemence, it seems to me, that's directed at me, directed at the president. People talk about taking their country back. I can't look into people's hearts, look into people's minds, but it seems to me that this president has been treated differently than others. There's a certain racial component to this for some people. I don't think this is the thing is a main driver, but for some, there's a racial animus.
Well, there's certainly some racial animus from you. There's no question about that. I mean, everything you say is about race. Could it be that the president is too far to the left for the average American, Mr. Holder? Could it be that he's a doofus? Could it be that he's the worst president in American history? Could it be that his damn arrogance is getting people pissed off and has nothing to do with his race, Mr. Holder? Is that possible? Could it be that he goes out of his way to piss people off, Mr. Holder? I mean, it's not all about race. It's him. It's his character is coming out. Now that he knows he thinks he doesn't have to be reelected. So now he can do what he wants now. Just step on Congress, step on the Supreme Court, step on the people. What's the difference? That's all. No, Mr. Holder. We don't see it that way. No, sir. We know what you're doing. We know exactly where you're coming from. We know that it's a conspiracy against all of us, in my opinion. Listen to this now. Listen to clip four of the Attorney General of the United States of America. Wait, he's going to talk about voter fraud and voter ID. Everybody knows that there are people voting in this country who don't have the right to vote. Everyone has seen the illegal aliens. Everyone knows that a lot of people from New York also vote in Florida. Everybody knows that. We know the whole system is jury-rigged. And the surest way to stop it is with voter ID. Most Western nations have voter ID except those overrun... Nations that are overrun by immigrants certainly would have voter ID because they don't want illegal aliens, non-citizens voting. So why would Holder go out of his way to say we don't need voter ID? There's only one reason. So listen now to the distortion that you will hear in clip number four.
This notion that there is widespread in-person voter fraud is simply belied by the facts. There's no proof that
that's
happening. I think these are basically political efforts to try to make sure that certain groups that are not supportive of those in power, it's made more difficult for them to have access to the ballot.
Yeah, right. Certain groups, you mean like illegal aliens from Mexico, for example? Yeah, it's our attempt to make sure that certain groups like illegal aliens who are Mexican citizens and not supportive of America should have no access to the ballot. And if you were attorney general, you would stop them cold. But instead, you're aiding and abetting them because you, my friend, know damn well that Cecilia Munoz of La Raza is who is behind this. You know it and I know it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Who is disproportionately impacted by them? Young people, African-Americans, Hispanics.
Nonsense.
People who, for whatever reason, are not necessarily supportive of the Republican Party.
You hear what he just said? Do you realize how partisan Holder is? You realize he's supposed to be the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the consigliere of Barack Obama? Do you understand what he just said? He's saying that he opposes the Republican Party for this reason and for that reason. That's not what an Attorney General is supposed to do. The man should be impeached for this alone. But he gets away with it because the lies roll off his tongue so quickly. And he gets away with it so often that he keeps repeating them. And this idea about the disproportionately impacted crap, you know, there was a famous German who said, if you repeat a big lie often enough, it becomes the truth. The left has so convinced themselves about this disproportionate impact over and over again that they start to believe their own lies. I heard this garbage in the universities 30 years ago. I'm talking about sensible voter identification. Who would oppose that except someone who's living off the votes of illegal aliens? Tell me who. KSFO Jim, tell me, do you think we need voter ID in this nation, or do you agree with Mr. Holder?
Hello, infidel. Hey, Dr. Savage, they have to show ID in Afghanistan and in Kenya to vote. Are you kidding me with this crap?
That's right. So go tell Eric Holder. Maybe they're disproportionately excluding somebody in Kenya and Afghanistan.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the NSA is listening to me right now. I better get off the phone or they're going to kick my door. And, hey, my daughter wants to say hi to you. She's 4 years old.
Okay. You're right. Thank you very much. 855-400-7282. 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. And we have more sound for you. It gets even better. Now Holder says that although we have an African-American attorney general, an African-American president, it's still not good enough. We have a longer road to go down. Where's that road going to take us? If we go on this road any longer, there'll be no country left. Listen to clip six.
Well, I think we're in a fundamentally better place than we were 50 years ago. I sit here as the first African-American attorney general, serving the first African-American president of the United States.
Every other word is African-American.
But there's still more we have to travel along this road so we get to the place that is consistent with our founding ideals.
Our founding ideals?
We talk to one another, learn how we come up with
policies. He says consistent with our founding ideals. What does he mean by our? Who, him and Karl Marx? Get to the place that is consistent with our founding ideals. Who, him and Michelle and Barack Obama? What does he mean by our founding ideals? What more does he want from the country? So he's trying now to make certain that the final nail is nailed into the coffin. And I didn't want to get here. I wanted to have a good time. But, this is what happened. I had a good time for about 30 minutes today. So let me go to the stories now. Iron Dome will keep getting better, developer says. You don't even know this is going on in the Middle East. Palestinians are firing hundreds of rockets at civilians, and the only thing keeping the Israelis from dying is an Iron Dome missile defense shield. The effectiveness of Iron Dome is very, very high, said Brigadier General Dr. Danny Gold, who helped develop the system. He said, I'm not surprised because if you study the system, you foresee a very high rate of success. So an Israeli developed his own defense system. That's beautiful. He said, Iron Dome was already very accurate during the 2012 Operation Pillar of Defense. But the system is progressing all the time. This is interesting. I didn't know that. He said that the system, unlike other missile defense systems, which require a long time to adapt to new situations, Iron Dome can do so very rapidly, Gold told reporters. Originally set to address short to mid-range threats described as between 4 and 70 kilometers. The system has since clearly expanded its range. And so now, since the start of Operation Protective Edge, Israel has been attacked not only by nearly 1,000 rockets from Gaza, but also by missiles from Syria and Lebanon. Oh, God, a bigger war is coming. A bigger war is coming. It's just blowing up because Obama has stepped off the world stage in order to attack his political enemies at home. See, I keep saying this to you. You don't understand this. Obama was, is, and will only be a community organizer. He has never become, he's never stepped into the big role of the president. He can't step into that role. He cannot step out of the community organizer mentality, which he was obviously very good at. That's how he became president. Now, what's happening as a result of him obsessing on his political opponents here in America is that the world is falling apart. And that's because he is still only a community organizer. We don't have a president in that sense. I stand by my words. We don't really have a true president. We have a community organizer who is not fundamentally is not acting like a world leader at all. He's not on the world stage. He's only acting as a community organizer, neutralizing his political opponents. That's all he's doing. A la, not Saul Alinsky, but, let's not get burlesque here on the Savage Nation. Now we go to clip 8. Sound clip 8, please, and you'll hear this one now. Listen to this big lie.
So far this year, Republicans in Congress have blocked every serious idea to strengthen the middle class.
Yep, middle class.
Lifting the minimum wage, fair pay.
Every speech now talks about him defending the middle class because he's sensitive to the fact that we all know he's a Marxist, and Marxists hate the bourgeoisie. That's what, look, this, the mother's milk of Marxism is to eliminate the middle class. Unless you've studied communism, you don't know what I'm talking about. So Obama has done everything he can to make sure that the millionaires and the trillionaires that he hangs around with on a regular basis, Warren Buffett, all the others, I don't even know their names, whoever they are, he only hangs around with the billionaires and the trillionaires. And in order to make certain that they're doing well, he has to make certain that someone pays for it. So they pay almost no taxes through double and triple Dutch and Irish methodologies. That's how GE, that's how Microsoft, that's how so many other major corporations that are his good friends get away without paying their fair share of American taxes on corporate earnings. I don't think you understand this, right? So in order to pay for the welfare state, someone has to pay for it. So the poor can't pay for it because they're receiving the money. So where does it come from? The middle class. Boom. This is how all dictatorships work. They always cater to the rich. You don't even understand that. You think that classical communism went after the very rich. You're wrong. It was the very rich who were in cahoots with the Marxists in the beginning. You don't understand that. You don't quite understand what new communism is. You're still stuck in a model from 1917. The new communists work hand in glove with the billionaires. That you don't know. Now you finally figured it out? There's the new communism and the old communism. No one's explained that to you either. But look, there's only so much I want to do every day. I come up with new ideas, and I can give you a whole story on that. Look, Friday I developed something new for you. It was so controversial, I maybe shouldn't have even done it. Where I talked about, what did I talk about on Friday that was so shocking that everyone may believe they didn't hear it, nobody would post it on their website? It was about what, Neil? You remember what I did on Friday? I'm going to be giving Neil a test, my board operator. What was the segment? It was on what? No, not pedophilia. That was last Monday. Come on now, we're talking Friday. Remember on Friday we did a show, and it's up on michaelsavage.com, and it was about not genetic cleansing, ethnic cleansing. It was about ethnic displacement. I called it ethnic replacement. But it's actually ethnic displacement that Obama is engaging in. That's why he wants to grant amnesty to 30 to 50 million illegal aliens. They say 11 million. And interestingly, that's the same number they've used for 10 years. I love that. 11 million immigrants in America illegally. That's a number I heard from George Bush's years. It was wrong then. It was 30 million probably. Why do I say 30 million? Because at least 10% of the population was illegal aliens at that time. So now it's probably 20%. So 20% of roughly 350 million is what? 60, 70 million illegals? So what is that going to be? What does that mean? It's displacement, ethnic displacement. And I realize it can be misinterpreted. I guess you can twist anything, right? All right, that's the story. Where are we now? We're up to Volare. We're up to immigrants with tuberculosis. I gave you the Italian Se non sei felice in questo mondo. I did that already. I like Italian. I should, you know, I think I should retire and just go to, like, the equivalent of the Berlitz School and then go to a cooking school, just drink and be an average white male. Let's see. Go to cooking school, take up darning, like take up knitting. I'm seeing white men in their 60s, pathetic. Golf, knitting, getting drunk in the afternoon, prostate operations, medication.
I'm here to see my doctor. I'm taking medication.
How are you today, Mel?
Not bad. I'm a little better. Did you get your new medication? A little bit.
Where are we going for dinner tonight, Mel?
It's something lighter. I have to have a low salt. Not too much drinking. I hear that one glass of red wine is good for me.
Se non sei felice in questo mondo. Because I can become an average guy. Take up golf, take up knitting, put flowers in my beard. I hear that's a hot thing with hipsters now. The Schmendricks, the young Schmendricks, are copying women and putting flowers in their beard. I just can't believe this country. I don't understand that it's enough to make you crazy altogether. Rockets are flying in Israel. The most vicious Taliban type in the history of the world are cutting off heads, and these schmucks are putting flowers in their beard. How much weaker can nation get and still survive?
Se non sei felice in questo mondo, nell'altro mondo sarai felice.
If you're not happy in this world, what do you expect in the next world? This is the only paradise. The second part is, questo mondo è paradiso, che l'altro non lo sai, cosa ti aspetterai? Meaning, if you're not happy here, Schmendrick, you're going to be more unhappy in the next world, if there is one. Chances are there is no next world. I don't think I'm changing my religious views. But I can't figure it out logically. Here's the problem with the religion part. That's why it keeps coming back. This goes back to the New Yorker profile of me in 2009, where the writer, who was pretty smart, he said every other minute he's talking about death and God, which is very funny. I'm still doing it. Because ultimately, it's all about talking to God. My whole show is about me talking to God. I'm basically appealing to God. I'm asking where he is. Did he go to sleep? Is God like asleep somewhere in another galaxy? Did he leave us? How else could you explain Obama coming to power and doing these horrible things to this country? God must have gone somewhere. I don't know how that happened. But I'm still talking to him like he's still here. I know he's probably hard of hearing after all these millennia. Got tired of listening to all the BS, all the fake confessions. The guys who do horrible things and then confess, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that. 10 minutes later, they leave the booth and go do it again. He got tired of the... Think of how many confessions he must have heard through the priests. No, let's just talk about Catholics just for a minute. I'm not picking on them. Let's say Catholics have a thing which is very brilliant. Because confession was like psychotherapy for no money, when you think about that. Then Freud came along and he tied it to money. Leave it to him, he figured it out. What do you have him do it for nothing with a cage in a booth? Let him come in, I give him a tissue, and charge him $300 an hour. It's basically a confessional. I mean, therapy, psychotherapy is like a confession. I did this, I did that. No, don't worry, you're not bad. Say 18, I'm not guilty, and you'll come back, make sure next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. And remember, if you cancel your confession, you owe the money anyway, unless you cancel a week in advance. But the thing is, this goes on forever. What's the good of confessing to a psychotherapist for? He's probably sicker than you are. Certainly more messed up than you were. Probably smarter than you, yes, but more messed up than you. He's so psycho that he went into the field. Who else would go into the field of psychotherapy except someone who's disturbed and looking for answers? No, you got to think about that. Doesn't mean they can help you once in a while, but it's all about confession, like relieving yourself of the burden. But as I said, let's say the Catholics, they confess. So I can't do the quick math. If I was really smart, I could do the mathematics on this. So let's say the world population now is, I don't know, what is it now, Neil? 5 billion, something like that, the last I checked. I'm not watching the birth rate anywhere, like in Calcutta. I'm not particularly interested in the exponential growth. I'm not interested in the Malthusian solution either. But so the population's booming around the world. Is it 5 billion? We'll take an even number. Of the 5 billion, there's got to be 500 million Catholics. I know there's a billion Christians. So 500 million Catholics. Now, that's now. Now let's go back from the beginning. So God has heard over a billion confessions. And on a daily basis now, he's hearing hundreds of millions of confessions a day. He's worn out from it. He's tired. It's like such BS. Dear God, I cheated on my husband. Really? What'd you do? What? Yeah, I didn't mean to. I was in Macy's. I was buying a bag, and there was a guy with flowers in his beard. The next thing I knew, I was in his apartment. I didn't mean to. It meant nothing to me. I felt nothing. All right, don't worry about it. Don't do it again. And come back. Take three Alka-Seltzer and three Hail Marys. And see, here's this, and they do it again, over and over again. See, he's tired of it. He doesn't want to hear any more confessions. That's what I'm saying. Is the confession still a valid instrument of religion? I mean, it's an interesting side question. I'm in a shtick mood today. You can see I'm doing stand-up today. I don't know where this is coming from. Why am I feeling good? I didn't feel good before the show. Exhausted, tired, I can't get enough sleep. Probably that wine from Saturday in the Italian restaurant, because I don't like wine. 2 days I have a hangover from wine. But to top it off, last night I went to a Chinese restaurant in Albany, California. I don't like the idea of Albany, California. It disturbs me. Because I grew up in New York. If you heard Albany, that meant Albany, New York. I don't like that there's names from here, from there, here. I've lived here like 45 years. I can't get used to Pittsburgh, California. I expect to see like Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or like Albany, California. It doesn't look like Albany, New York at all. It's a nice little town. So a friend of mine who's a gourmet who speaks Chinese, PhD from Harvard, brilliant guy, had a birthday party in a little Chinese restaurant. He swore it was the best Szechuan food, not only in the Bay Area, but in America. So how could I not go? I knew a guy, I meant to tell you this, wait, before I take a quick break. Many years ago, I knew a gentleman who supported my scientific research in the old 19th century manner. I couldn't get government grants because my research was too obscure and too original, frankly. Now I think it's part of a, you know, the standard research. And he loved me, loved my brain. So he supported my research for a few years. He helped me with his own private funds. He had a fortune. Wonderful man, very artistic, very intelligent. He was a historian originally that made his fortune in the art world. And he said to me that when he was a young man, he was, I'm not naming anyone, he was interested in women. He was just crazy about women. That's all he obsessed on. And then he said as he got older, after a certain age, he said he was no longer interested in women, not that much. He said all he became interested in was food. And he said, if I heard of a restaurant opening, he said, I would go from London to Paris to try a new, new restaurant. Now, I'm not exactly there yet, but I mean, it dawned on me last night with this food obsession. Okay, I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. All right, so Eric Holder says that if you oppose Obama's Marxist policies or his just stupid policies, you're a racist. He says it in his silken tongue manner. So now I get up and I see that a four-star female admiral is being lauded by the New York Times. So I say to myself, wait a minute. What's so great about that? She can't fly a jet, yet they put her in charge of the naval aviators? I'm supposed to celebrate that she's a woman and an African-American?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There has to be a halt to this. That's what we want. And the best way to do that is for plane loads of these young people to be returning to the country of origin.
Blue Monday, how are you?
Jimmy Cagney. Got to work. Jimmy Cagney, McGraw. If I were an immigrant, I wouldn't want to go back on a plane that he was flying. Welcome to the Savage Nation. If John McCain offered to fly you back to your homeland, would you get on that plane? Welcome to the program. Well, here's some good news. Obama's lying again. He's saying, well, listen to clip 8. Listen to him say that no matter what he tries to do, Republicans block him. I'll show you. Now he's going to have to put his money where his mouth is. Listen to clip 8, please.
So far this year, Republicans in Congress have blocked
every serious idea to strengthen the middle class.
Okay, let's stop. His standard lament is that the Republicans blocked everything he wants to do, which is a lie, of course. So now a bill has just been drawn up by a Democrat of Hispanic background from Texas, right? Representative Henry Cuellar, Democrat, Hispanic, and a Republican, John Cornyn, a Republican, which would speed the removals of Central American invaders. I mean, kids, sorry. Speed them up. Change the law immediately. Now, Obama is on record saying that they support this change, but because of Cecilia Munoz and other, quote, allies in the immigrant advocacy community, meaning, La Raza, Kulak, Mulak, Obama's not said he'll agree to this. So spokesmouth Josh Earnest, that's the new spokesmouth that everyone laughs at behind his back till he has a nervous breakdown and they take him off the stage like the last spokesmouth. The spokesmouth Josh Earnest said the White House welcomes constructive engagement from Republicans, but will wait to see the actual legislation. In other words, then Eric Holder will go through it and say that he sees racial component in it and that he can't pass it. That the great dear leader, President Obama, while he'd like to help resolve the crisis and the problem, he sees a racial component in this because it's aimed only at Hispanic children. Duh. Of course Hispanic children, they're all Hispanic. So therefore, on the face of it, it's got a racial component. So you see, there's going to be Holder's out right away. Because, see, the only way Holder would go for it was if we deport 57,000 illegal aliens who are Hispanic, we have to take 57,000 Caucasian children at random from the streets of America and deport them as well. I think then Holder might approve of it. You know what I'm saying? Then you have parity. Then Holder won't be able to, you know, he'll be able to sleep at night. He'll say, well, okay, there was no racial disparity. We deported 57,000 illegal aliens who came here from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. But it was not racially charged because we authorized the random selection of 57,000 Caucasian children in America to be snatched off the street by the DEA, I mean by the DHS, and we're deporting them. So there'll be no hard feelings by La Raza or any of the other, quote, immigrant advocacy groups. Look, I'm being absurd. It's called reducto ad absurdum. I told you that's a technique I use. Don't take that literally. See, I have to actually add a tail now and say I'm doing reducto ad absurdum because you don't understand it otherwise. You're so dumb, most people. They don't know what you're doing. So you don't have to know Latin to love Levi's. I mean, you know, it's like the same thing. You don't have to know Italian to eat ravioli. You don't have to be Italian to enjoy tiramisu, do you? Do you have to be Jewish to like a matzah once in a while if you're on a low gluten diet? Does matzah have gluten in it, by the way? I think it does. Here's the real question plaguing me. Do wafers, Catholic wafers, have gluten? You know, if I really wanted to make a buck, I'd make a gluten-free wafer for the Catholics. sorry, I can't help it. You see these idiots. I hear them talking in supermarkets. Such morons. These are the people who vote for Obama. I live around them. And they talk with such earnestness about gluten-free diets. They don't even know what gluten is. To them, gluten is like global warming. It's something bad created by an evil person. Gluten may as well have a face, eyes, legs, hands, have hairy forearms. Gluten to them is like a bad man. Most of the women are on gluten-free diets. They think of him as an evil man walking around. Think of a villain. It's like a Hell's Angel with hairy hands. That's Mr. Gluten. Ooh. Hey, here comes gluten. Watch out for him. We don't want any of that. They don't know what it is, but they know it's bad for them. They don't understand it's part of wheat. People have eaten it for like millennia. It's like the staff of life to everyone in the history of mankind. The staff of life was wheat. Now it's evil. Until some idiot came up with this cockamamie story. It's like global warming. Well, why are you getting... Well, because of carbon dioxide. Moron, that's how the plants grew after the Ice Age. There was no carbon dioxide. There'd be no plants. Schmuck, that's what they live on. Well, I don't know about that. I know carbon dioxide. I know about seltzer bottles. That's about all I know. My childhood. Yeah, well, seltzer needs carbon dioxide. You want to put the seltzer man out of business too? Why doesn't Eric Holder go after the seltzer manufacturers through the FAA? I mean, sorry, the whatever it is. What is that one? FDA. The FDA should put seltzer man out of business in New York. No, does anyone drink seltzer anymore? They're like the Clarabelle. Like clowns had seltzer bottles. You know what I'm talking about? There was actually, when I was a kid, a seltzer man. Could you imagine a man who was a seltzer? Well, I think this guy's named Seltzer to this day. Do you ever meet a guy named like Harry Seltzer? Certain names are hysterical. There's a guy who works for Obama named, I swear to God, I'm not doing this for shock value. One of Obama's bag carriers is named Harvey Schmuck. I swear to you. I almost fell down when I saw that. It was Obama getting on an airplane with two of his attendants carrying his bags, and they identified one. Harvey Schmuck was carrying a bag. Oh, that's a curse. But if you're going to be fair about it, I mean, you know, you want to go after carbon dioxide, you got to start with the Seltzermint if you want to stop that melting of the glacier. Now, go tell the idiots in the supermarket who believe in global frauding and believe that gluten's bad for every living creature that the Antarctic ice pack is the thickest it's been in 100 years. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. I don't understand how we got so dumb. How did the people get so dumb? Before college education, people were smarter. You look at the World War II generation, the average person went to high school, if that. They were far smarter. Before, I'm saying before the massive educational business, that every moron had to go to college. First of all, 80% aren't fit for college. Take a look at what goes on in there. It's like a sex parlor, a sex and a drug parlor. That's it. College, you went to college. Got into Cornell on a scholar. Oh, you went to Cornell. And what are you doing now? Nothing. I'm living at home. How come? I don't know. There's no jobs. How can it be a job if all you did was have sex and drink for 5 years, 6 years? And Cornell had a school of restaurant management. That was always appealing. I actually wanted to go to that, but I was ashamed to say it was like below me. It was funny how there were like categorizations of things you were allowed to do. Like for my social caste, you weren't allowed to like go to the Cornell School of Cornell Cooking or whatever. I don't know what it was. It wasn't cooking. Restaurant and hotel management. I liked that. But for the grace of God, I would be Sheldon Adelson today when you think about that. Because a guy like me, I mean, if I went into the hotel management business, I'd be Sheldon Adelson. Supporting Obama, probably, in order to get free labor. I mean, cheap labor, whatever. Just amusing. That's all amusing. It's an amusing show because I muse. My goal one day is to have Eric Holder actually listen to me and enjoy me and invite me to the White House for a cup of Java or Kava, whatever he like. I like Java. He may like Kava. Actually, I like Kava more than I like Java, but you can't get good Kava here. All I have is good Fiji water. I try to bring in Kava. No one wanted to drink it. Years later, some shyster brought in Kava, made a fortune. I still don't understand how they sell Fiji water. It's from the aquifer. Is there an expert hydrologist out there who can tell me how they get away with this? How could they export billions of bottles of Fiji water and not, like, suck the water out of the aquifer? Does it replenish itself forever? Is an aquifer forever full? The basics, I understand. It rains. The mountains attract water in Fiji, right? Torrential rains. I remember being there collecting medicinal plants in 1969 when I first started. And a stream could rise 16 feet in the scope of an hour from one of these torrential rains. So I guess most of the water is not runoff. A lot of it's runoff into the ocean, but some of it must go into the aquifer. The aquifer. So like some guy from America sticks a pipe into the ground and makes billions and billions of bottles of Fiji water. I drink it. I mean, I do drink it. I'm obsessed with it. I don't know why I drink bottled water. It's like plastic water. I try the tap water here in California. I like this Hetch Hetchy. The 2012 Hetch Hetchy was better than 2014, I got to tell you. The runoff was better. Yep. Yeah, it was a better vintage. The 2012 Hetch Hetchy water was better in restaurants. I like ice water in restaurants. I find it cures everything. No matter what I'm eating, water, just water. Would that be flat or bubbly? Hey, give me a glass of water from the tap in San Francisco. What do you mean, flat or bubbly? Look, I'm not in Florida where you can't drink the water. I happen to have great water here in San Francisco. Just give me the tap water and stop the malarkey, okay? Stop pushing another $10 bottle of Drek on me from a polluted stream in Italy somewhere out of someone's toilet. They give it a name, a fancy name, Aquavita. Guy's probably pumping it from a whatever. I am so cynical. Is that? That could be my problem. I'm too cynical for my own good. I don't believe a thing any politician says. That's one. Number two, I don't believe a thing any politician says. And number three, I don't believe anything a politician says. Number four, I don't believe anything an attorney general says. Number five, whenever I hear the word race or racial inequality, I know they're lying. They're using race as a weapon. Number five, Al Gore should be arrested for crimes against humanity. For crimes against science, I think Al Gore should be arrested by Interpol. For pushing the fraud of global warming and costing the world billions of dollars, Al Gore should be arrested at a moment's notice by Interpol, taken into custody, and tried. Let him prove this actual thing called man-made global warming. Let him prove it in court. See, that's what that's how I would solve it. I'm a simple guy. Make it simple. Okay, Al Gore, you say there's global warming caused by man. We need to spend another couple of billion dollars a year to stop it, okay? Okay, we're arresting you. Now go prove this fraudulent theory of yours in court. You're on. Go prove it. Yeah, now bring in the stooge scientists that worked for Obama. Now bring in all the other scientists who disagree with you, including some of the world's leading climatologists. What are you going to say then? Oh, the science is not in, Al? You mean science is in from the people you pay? Oh, one other story I wanted to get to before I smack up again. Can I do this, Neil, or not? I got to do this story. Oh, I got to do the 4-star female admiral makes history. She cannot fly a jet onto the deck of an aircraft carrier. But I'm supposed to sit here and say what a great country it is because she's a woman and she's African-American. Let me ask you something. Why would a naval aviator look up to her as a leader if she can't land a jet on a carrier? How can anyone be an admiral in the Navy who is not first a naval aviator unless they are strictly a political appointment? Tell me the answer to that question. But under Obama, suddenly she's the most superior admiral since the greatest admiral in history, even though she can't fly a jet on a carrier. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
It is the king of talk radio, Michael Savage, in case you missed it. You're not going to read it anywhere. You're not going to hear about it anywhere, but you're going to hear it here. Numbers don't lie. I got this from TalkStream Live. And Michael Savage is number one in streaming talk radio shows with an astounding 20 share. They're unheard of. Limbaugh, God bless him, is at a 12 share. Laura Ingraham's at a 6 share. And the rest are beyond her. But you won't hear this anywhere else. But numbers don't lie. I'm posting it on michaelsavage.com. You can link yourself. So in that sense, I'm telling this for a reason. One, I'm boasting, because I'm not for myself who will be. But I want you to understand how large my audience really is. It's enormous, and it's listened to around the world. I'm sort of the voice of America. And I want to thank you all for listening on the great radio stations and on the devices. But I'm not just here to entertain you. I've been around sort of too long for that. Entertain I can. I can do the verbal Mick Jagger, believe me. I can do it if I want to, if I'm in the mood. I'm not in the mood. We're being invaded. Now, if we had a viable military that had not been purged by Obama very carefully over the last few years, he purged the military of combat commanders who might have acted to save this country. But he got rid of all of them, and he did it right after Benghazi because they were ready to break their silence. It's all coming out in my book, Stop the Coming Civil War. I have their names, when they were removed, why they were removed, the pretext, the fake accusations. So there is no military anymore. No, there is a compliant group of men with guns. I wouldn't call it a military. So don't look to the military to save the country. You're not going to see a coup in this country to save us from this rogue regime. It's never going to happen. Never. We don't have an opposition party. We have no opposition press. But the worst part is that the billionaires and trillionaires are behind him. He's not doing this on his own. You got to understand, the billionaires and trillionaires are behind this. You take a look at Bill Gates. Why would he be in favor of massive relocation of populations into this country? You say, well, cheaper labor, but these people can't work in his companies. Two-year-old children can't run in his devices. I don't know. Why would Buffett want them? Why would Warren Buffett want illegal aliens? How does he gain by that? Buffett is diversified in his investments. Big railroad man. That's why they blocked the Keystone XL pipeline. His stooge Obama has blocked the Keystone XL pipeline because Buffett brings the oil in from the Canadian tar sands by train. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why Buffett's in favor of Obama, because Obama did his bidding. He blocked the most sensible thing we ever could have had. Cheap oil from Canada on an oil pipeline. So what's this about? $4 billion, they're going to raise it from the taxpayer? Why don't they just look into the Microsoft tax structure, the double Irish and the other schemata used by the major corporations such as Microsoft to evade billions of dollars in taxes every year? And they should take the money from those corporations to pay the $4 billion to give the children soccer balls and tamales. And a clean pair of pants, whatever they're going to do with the $4 billion. How much of that money that he's asking for will go into the hands of contractors? Answer all of it. Answer all of it. It's one of the greatest scams in American history. That's why Jesse Jackson all of a sudden said, what? Listen to clip 27 now, and you'll hear what I'm talking about. This is Jesse H. Jackson.
If we can find the money, and necessarily so to help the children on the border, $4 billion, $2 billion can come to Chicago.
See, he smelled it. He said, oh, my God. I've been working this racket for years, and they're going to give them $4 billion? If they can find $4 billion, we can get two of it. We can skim off a deuce off it. So don't think that it's falling on ripe ears across the land. Oh, no. This is a very interesting conversation about to have. I'm talking about ethnic replacement on the Savage Nation and how this is a conspiracy on the part of the elites, the so-called elites. They're really just the junk of civilization.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Department officials tell the New York Times that Haley Sergeant Bo Bergdahl will return to life as a regular Army soldier as early as today. They say Bergdahl has finished his therapy and his counseling and will now start working for Sam Houston. He's also expected to meet with Major General Kenneth Dahl. Dahl is the officer investigating.
So now under Obama, they take a traitor who ran away from his unit in combat, lived with the Taliban or whoever they call themselves over there for 5 years. Obama trades him for five murderers, the worst, the hardened battlefield generals, brings him back. They put him in a reverse brainwashing session for two seconds. Now he's suddenly cured already, and he's going back into the Army. He's a double agent. Only an Obama could put him back in the military. It's wonderful. Now, our Marine is still stuck in Mexico, and Obama's done nothing, didn't lift a finger. They're flooding him over the border like on the train load. That he has something to say about, but a Marine over there captured by the monsters, nothing. Ah, my God. People were saying to me during the break, my producer, Neil, he said, Michael, go for it. Keep talking about what you did in North Beach Saturday. He said, because they'd rather hear that than hear about how bad Obama is. They know how bad he is, but they can't take it anymore. All they're saying is, where's the Republican Party? I mean, what do you want the people to do about it? Which is the truth. I could tell you what I ate and talk to you about what I sang on Saturday and how I felt and what I saw after a bottle of wine. And you'd probably enjoy it more than me telling you about the decimation of America. Why? I don't know why. Telling you why. Living well is the best revenge, that's why. I mean, let's back up for a minute. Over the weekend, Eric Holder gave an interview. And he said that there's a racial component in anybody who opposes Obama. So if you have to if you can understand where he's coming from, you'll understand why he sees it that way. If you've used race your whole life to get where you are when you're a third-rate mind, and it worked for you, why would you stop using it? In other words, if it wasn't for race, would Eric Holder be attorney general? Let's turn it around, though. Has he ever written anything in the legal books, in the world of legal books, that would have him stand out, let's say, on the level of a Justice Frankfurter? No. Or a Justice Brandeis. Has Eric Holder ever written anything that will ever be remembered in law? No. Has Obama ever written anything or said anything that will ever be remembered? No. Other than I have a pen and a chair. I have a pen, a chair, and a stool, and I'll be a one-man machine. So in other words, if you have gotten where you are using race, why would you stop now? You wouldn't stop now. And on that note, since we know the world is going to you-know-where in a handbasket and going there real fast because we've got two men pushing it as quickly as they can over the cliff, Israel, of course, is at war with their wonderful neighbors, the Arab neighbors over there. The Arabs in America are rioting. They didn't have anything to say when the Israelis were being killed, but when their own brethren are being killed, of course, this is the way the world is. See, there's no right and wrong at a certain point. Do you understand there's no right and wrong? Do you understand where war originates? War originates when both sides know they're right. And there's no right or wrong. They go to war, and then might makes right. It's as simple as that. It's a horrible thing to say, but I said it. The world is a horrible place. It's not a place where little white girls sell lemonade on a corner in a suburb with any degree of safety anymore, except in idiotic Marin County, because the mothers are all drugged up and don't know the world that they live in. You see what I'm saying to you? My father was an immigrant from Russia, came here when he was seven, didn't speak the language, had to learn the language. He rode a laundry truck with a horse like out of The Godfather. at 10 or 11. They used child labor. He was glad to have the job. He didn't go crying to the Justice Department. He was glad as an immigrant kid to get a job. And he worked his way up. He had a little store. He died young. He left my mother a small attached house and some money. She never had to work in her life. But the point is, he didn't complain about it. But he also knew it was a dog-eat-dog world, and he taught yours truly, Michael Savage. See, I was a young kid, went to college, and right away my mind was perverted and destroyed at Queens College in the city of New York. These were all communists who ran away from fascism, and the first thing I did when they came to America was try to brainwash the youth, myself included, into hating America and seeing the world through the eyes of John Dewey and the others that I was raised on in all of these liberal arts courses. So I'd come home from college, and I would give my father the highfalutin liberal view of the world as a kid, you know, youngster. I'm talking, I went to college at 16. I skipped a few grades. And I would come home and give him the claptrap that I learned in school. And he'd look at me like I was crazy. And he would say to me, let me tell you something. The Bible says the meek shall inherit the earth. He said, let me tell you what the meek shall inherit. Now, since this is a family show, I can't tell you what my father, Savage, said. But it began with the meek shall inherit, and you fill in. It's a one-word answer. The meek shall inherit blank. By the way, thanks for making me Michael Savage, the king of talk radio. Thanks for listening on all the great radio stations. And on streaming talk shows, I'm number one. Not on, let me be very clear. The ratings on stations are different. I'm doing well on the stations. But on streaming, I'm number one with a 20 share. Limbaugh's a 12 share. I'm almost double his share. I didn't make up the numbers. The people who do this do it. Those are people who listen on devices rather than radio, or they listen on the internet, you know, whatever. 20 shares unheard of in this day and age. And I think it's quite an achievement for a man who's been on radio 20 years that instead of becoming irrelevant, I become more relevant. And you notice I don't get as excited as I did 15 years ago. I used to yell a lot, angry, screaming. It was good, but I don't have to yell and scream to make my point anymore. I will if I need to, but I don't. So here we are. We're standing on the precipice of something, and I'm looking at a show on TV last night about a free theater in Russia, in Belarus, done a few years ago. A free theater. You say, a bunch of hippies. But no, it was pretty amazing. And the people in the theater, the artists in Russia, were saying, we have one leader. Think of it. She said, I'm 25 years old. I've had one president my whole life. They wanted democracy. They didn't want a dictatorship. So then it goes to the leader of the opposition, and they're killing people, they're beating them up there. And her own Russian compatriot, listen to this. One of the women in the theater, one of the people who was protesting against the one-man rule, says she was beaten up by the Russian thugs in Belarus. She's Russian. And they said to her, first we're going to rape you, and then we're going to do to you things that what the Nazis did to Russians in World War II will be only a dream compared to what we're going to do to you. This is what Russians did to Russians. And I'm telling you that the same thing will happen in this country unless you capture the rainbow of truth. I'm warning you. If you think that you're immune from that debacle in this country, I got another guest coming for you. I am telling you that you will not be protected by the Constitution. You will not be protected by the flag. You'll not be protected by your patriotism. None of that will help you. Once the devil is set loose, the devil knows no bounds. And the only thing preventing us from this chaos, well, I'll let you figure it out. But I can tell you this, that if we let this go on much longer, the people who are right now running rampant over this country, violating the Constitution, spitting on the flag, spitting on the Supreme Court, spitting on the people, spitting on the opposition, they'll eliminate term limits and you'll have a president for life. And if you want to live in that country, you can exclude me, because I won't be here. I'll tell you that right now. I see things in a different way. And in that regard, you have to either accept what I say as the gospel or don't listen to me, because what I'm telling you is the emes. It's the truth. And they have an agenda, Obama and Holder and the others who see race and everything. They have an agenda, or they would have been stopped. But here's the bad news. You want to hear the bad news? The Republicans agree with them. That's all. See, the Republicans wanted amnesty, but didn't have the nerve to flood us with illegals. But because they have a good friend in Obama and Holder, good friends there, they figured a way around the law. They figured how to bust open amnesty without voting on it. So that way, Boehner and the others can cry with crocodile tears, and satisfy the worst business bureau and satisfy the all those people who want, you know, low labor. We have a very hot topic of the invasion from Central America being orchestrated by Quisling Obama and those who've jumped ship and have joined them. And I've asked you why you oppose illegal immigration and illegal immigrants in particular, because the left is very clever. Never forget that Satan is very smart. And the Satan left says that if you oppose illegal immigration, you're a racist. We all know they use that at the drop of a hat, and it has no meaning anymore whatsoever. So I've asked you to give reasons other than that, and I told you always make them economic. Always revert to the fiscal conservative arguments because they're real. I mean, A, charity begins at home. B, charity begins at home. C, charity begins at home. Four, who's going to pay for them? Five, the next liberal who says you're just a racist, say, why don't you take them in your own house? Six, what about our own poor? What about the poor in Mississippi, Alabama? Why don't they talk so much about that? Where did our poor go? They disappeared all of a sudden? Every day we hear about hungry and poor in America. The next day there are no hungry and poor. Suddenly we have to take in the poor of the world. This is not about anything except a new malleable population that can be controlled by a ruling elite. Now, others are saying things like this. Border agents know what's going on. They know that gangs are using the processing centers as recruitment hubs. We know that the TSA, look at the top of Drudge. The TSA, if you're going to fly this weekend, you'll be frisked by a $9 an hour individual, but they're going to allow illegals on planes without ID. Now, what does that mean? Tell me what that means. And why are the churches still able to hold on to their nonprofit status when they are in cahoots with the administration? The churches are violating the separation of church and state. They're violating their 501c3s. And frankly, if we had a legitimate government, I would strip the churches who were engaged in this of their 501c3s overnight, and they would stop their behavior. They would stop their perverse behavior. Because this is perverse behavior on the part of churches. Is it not? Is it not perverse of churches to be in cahoots with a government that's violating the Constitution? Well, that's one man's opinion. Let me remind you of something. There's a statement on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your hungry, your tired, and your poor, or something to that effect. I will remind you that when that Statue of Liberty was erected, there was no welfare state. It said, give me your hungry, your tired, and your poor to come here and work. Work their way out of hunger. Work their way out of poverty. Not to come here and sit on their behinds, not learn English and rip the American flag up like it's toilet paper and collect a fat check from Aunt Sam. So don't tell me about the Statue of Liberty, because there was no welfare state. And I'm the son of an immigrant. They worked their hearts out when they came here. They didn't sit at home on a fire escape and look down on the street and throw cigarettes at the passerbys. They didn't burn their mattresses and throw them down on the avenue when they didn't get a welfare check, because they would rather die if they took a dime from the government. My people said they'd rather throw themselves off a fire escape than take welfare. How's that for a change in ethos? Take a look at what's coming in now. Take a look at their ethos. Go take a look at a mall and see who's pushing a baby carriage at 15 with three children. Go look! Go look! Go look at who's pushing baby carriages around the country with their husband next to them. Another 15-year-old that doesn't work. Do you have any idea where this goes, how this ends? You may have to emigrate out of your own country. Do you understand what's coming? There'll be the very, very, very rich, like in the ex-Soviet Union. The government, which are the very rich, by the way, with the Dachas and the bulletproof limousines and the bodyguards, and then there'll be you, the idiots on the bottom who voted your own demise. You say, it can't happen here, I'm being hysterical. Good, I hope I'm crazy. I hope I'm nuts and nothing like this happens. I hope every one of these illegal aliens becomes a law-abiding, English-speaking American citizen who works for a living. Yeah, sure, that's going to happen. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO. KSFO.
I really want Congress to do its job, the constitutional power that they have, to halt an imperial presidency, to halt this fundamental transformation of America that is making us an unrecognizable mess of a nation at this time.
Now, of course, you'd expected this one. I expected it. Old Boehner says,
There's a certain racial component to this for some people.
If you look at the time that we brought here as slaves 400 years ago, We got the same results today.
People talk about taking their country back.
We take our country back. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The president has reached out his hand, offered compromises.
I've acted this year to help working Americans on my own.
If he cannot pay attention to Chicago and the African-American community, he needs to resign.
This president has been treated differently than others.
Mr. President, we're asking for you.
Again, as I say, he will probably go down as the worst president ever elected. Bill Clinton was the African-American president.
That's right, the worst president ever elected, and I didn't say it, an African-American in Chicago said it, but I may be Attorney General Eric Holder, who said that there's a racial component in the resistance to Obama's desire to create one-man rule, and anyone who opposes one-man rule is obviously racist, there's no question about that. Anyone who still salutes the flag might be investigated by the Justice Department.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Savage.